Over the years, and now I could say over the decades, I have served the various levels of our denomination in a whole variety of ways. And most of the invitations I received were things within what I saw as my gifts and graces, or things in which I already had a very strong interest. But then I was asked to be on Cincinnati Presbytery's Permanent Judicial Commission. And that's about as unfun as it sounds. The Permanent Judicial Commission is part of the church's disciplinary process, also sounding fun. And that is the body that when congregations, ministers, or offices of the church violate the church's constitution, which includes our ordination vows, the commission becomes involved. Now, I have to admit, I had never had even a slight desire to serve on the Permanent Judicial Commission. So I was about to say, no, I don't think so. But the person asking me said, oh, it will be easy. The commission only meets when it has a case before it. They haven't met in years. You know where this is going. Just go and see what you think. So I said yes. I was not on the commission 3 months before we had a disciplinary case involving a minister in one of the larger congregations in the presbytery. There ended up being a trial, and I was now part of the group that would make that decision about one of my colleagues. And I immediately thought, I should have been more skeptical. It was not fun. It was not fulfilling. It was not rewarding. It was hard. It was painful. I learned a lot, but I won't ever say yes to being on a PJC again. Not because of that particular case, but because I realized I don't have those gifts. I don't have the gifts for that. Because I also saw in the commission people who did have those gifts, who could do this and do it well with justice and mercy and compassion, seeking the redemption of all involved. Now, this was not the first time someone had invited me to come and see. Most of the time, it was to travel to a place I was unfamiliar with, or to experience something I was already skeptical or reluctant about. But the invitation to check it out myself, given by a trusted person, helped me step over the threshold to a different experience. Now, some of those experiences I would not repeat for a whole variety of reasons, but all of them were times of learning and growth by going to see, going to hear, going to experience something I had not. I came to see life and the world through many different eyes. And I got to hear about different ways of thinking and viewing the world. And I came to appreciate that everything has more than one side and more than one viewing point. Now, according to my passport, it was September of 2015 when I first went to the country of Cuba. I had barely been here a year, but I knew about our covenant with the congregation in Caiberian. And Russ Dykhouse urged me to go and meet the people in our sister church. So you can blame Russ. Go and see, he said. I don't speak Spanish, my friends. I knew almost nothing about the country of Cuba, at least in its current state. But because we were in covenant with this congregation, and because Russ Dykhouse told me to go and see, I went when the presbytery organized a trip. I was skeptical whether or not I was the one from RRPC to go, but I was the new pastor, and I had met Adalberto when he had been here a year prior. The trip organizers of the presbytery also said, come on, see for yourself. And I have to tell you that I can say now, each trip has been better than the last. Our delegation will be preparing a full presentation, as I told you, in coming weeks, so you'll hear more about it. In this morning's gospel reading, Nathanael is sitting under a fig tree, minding his own business. Philip walks up to him and said, we found the one about whom Moses and the prophets wrote. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. Now, this is not an entirely true statement. For just a few verses earlier than I started reading, we read that Jesus found Philip. Now, this may seem like a small detail, but but it's an important one. All that happens in the life of faith for us as individuals and for us as a congregation is at Christ's initiative. So really, Philip didn't find anybody. Jesus found Philip. So then Nathanael replies, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nathanael's very skeptical about this. Nazareth is no Jerusalem. It's a backwater town from which nothing of note, nothing of influence had ever or would ever come. Philip then answers him with the invitation, "Come and see." Jesus had just used these words the previous day to two disciples who were following him, wanting to know where he lived. And now Philip uses them to encourage Nathanael to stand up and come with him to see this man. Now, before he even gets to Jesus, Jesus calls out, "Now here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now, Jesus had just seen him under the fig tree and yet seemed to already know him. Remember the words of the psalm that Linda read to you. But that was all it took for Nathanael to step over the threshold from being a skeptic to becoming a disciple. Come and see. The life of faith is one of opportunity after opportunity to come and see, to answer Christ's invitation to see more and greater things of the kingdom of God. It can come when we listen to a different voice or see something we could not before imagine or experience a part of life we never thought we would. Some are as simple as volunteering at a shelter or a food bank, taking on a leadership role in the larger community, engaging in a new relationship with someone. Others might be more adventurous when we're invited to initiate a program for those who are underserved in some way, like survivors of domestic violence, or to start a program of snow day meals for children who depend on school meals, or a program for older adults who live alone. You know, it could really be anything, because it's Jesus saying, "Come and see." Now, in order for Nathanael to step over I keep calling him Nathan, I know it's because of you. In order for Nathanael to step over the threshold from skepticism to belief, he had to let go of some preconceived notions and ideas about Nazareth, for one, apparently, and perhaps then about Jesus as well. And so he had to let go of some things to do that. This is the weekend when we remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and many often overlook that his work was born of his Christian faith. Christ at some point called Dr. King to come and see because people were suffering. Dr. King did not seek this out. And if you read his works, you will find throughout them his sense of call to the work he was doing. In fact, he wrote these 10 commandments, I'll put that in quotes, for nonviolence, most of which actually could be applied to many aspects of our lives, both individually and corporately. I want you to hear these. 1, meditate daily on the teachings and life of Jesus. Remember always that nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. Walk and talk in the manner of love, for God is love. Pray daily to be used by God in order that all people might be free. Sacrifice personal wishes in order that all people might be free. Observe with both friend and foe the ordinary rules of courtesy. You know, we ought to embroider that somewhere about rules of courtesy. Seek to perform regular service for others and for the world. Refrain from the violence of fist, tongue, or heart. Strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. Follow the directions of the movement and the captain on a demonstration. Now, with the exception of the last one, none of these relate to anything but following Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Dr. King's was also an invitation to come and see. Come and see what Christ is doing, both in your life and in the world around you. But center it on Jesus. Seek his will. Follow his example. Nathanael had no idea what he was in for when he decided to become a part of this community of followers of Jesus, but yet he stepped over the threshold. Today we are ordaining and installing ruling elders and deacons. These are people among us who have answered the invitation by Jesus to come and see what it is to serve and to lead. And then after that, we will all have the opportunity to answer Christ's invitation to come to this table, to come and taste and see and what Christ has prepared for us. Not just in these moments as we partake of bread and cup, but each day then, as Jesus continues to invite us into community that seeks to live and to serve in his name, to bring his love and peace into the world. Because we do this together as one body, we are responding to the invitation to come and see the life of faith. Nathanael teaches us to be careful when you are just minding your own business, because you don't have to be looking for Jesus for him to find you. Amen.